We're going to think this morning about this surprise that came to Mary long ago when this announcement was made to her by the angel about the birth of a child. And Mary's response is an amazing response, although she's troubled, surprised, and fearful. Her response ends with words of great faith. In verse 38, where Mary responds, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And the angel departed from her. And we need to think this morning a little about what that meant for Mary, and then what it means for us as we respond to ways in which God surprises us. One writer commenting about what happens here says, "Surprises come in many forms, some good, some amazing, some awful, some tragic. But there's one thing we can say, surprises are not boring." Well, was there a greater surprise than this one, when an angel named Gabriel appeared to probably a teenager by the name of Mary? The New Living Translation translates verses 26 to 28 like this. "God sent the angel Gabriel to Nazareth, a village in Galilee, to a virgin named Mary. She was engaged to be married to a man named Joseph, a descendant of King David. Gabriel appeared to her and said, 'Greetings, favored woman, the Lord is with you.'" The first thing I want to say about these verses is that God surprises us at unexpected times and in unexpected ways. It is obvious here that Mary was surprised by the angel. Here was Mary's life running along in a pretty usual way, engaged to be married, probably an arranged marriage. Joseph would have paid a dowry to compensate Mary's father for his loss. And Mary was looking ahead and, we might imagine, dreaming of marriage and married life ahead of her. And then this surprising visit from the Lord by an angel. It's not what Mary was expecting in her life. And Mary was frightened. It may well be that her first thought was she was going to die. And probably we would think the same thing. But God sent Gabriel to Mary because the Lord had a special job for her. Mary was to be the mother of the Messiah. Now, it's not likely that to us the surprise will be the visit of an angel. But God still often surprises us. Here's an example. A professor sitting at his desk working on the lectures for the next day. And as he's coming towards the end of preparation, he shuffles through the mail that's been put on his desk by the housekeeper who looks after the block in the university where he's working. And he looks at the mail, he begins to throw unwanted mail into the rubbish bin. And then there's this letter that attracts his attention. And it falls open at a section entitled "The Needs of the Congo Mission." And the professor begins reading it. And then he is surprised by these words. "The need is great here. We have no one to work the northern province in the central Congo. And it is my prayer that as I write this article, God will lay his hand on someone. Someone on whom already the master's eyes have been cast. That he or she shall be called to this place to help us." And here's this university professor suddenly surprised. And he writes in his diary at the end of that day, "My search is over. I give myself to the Congo." And the professor's name was Albert Schweitzer, perhaps the greatest medical missionary doctor ever. And that article, not even addressed to him, put on his desk by the housekeeper, the world would say, by chance, he happened to pick it up. By chance, the title caught his attention. By chance, something seemed to leap out to him. One or two are arriving, so we can let them in. We have a nice surprise of one or two people arriving, but they're a little bit late. But we let them in, Robert. And we think, was it all just by chance? Well, no, not by chance. Here's one of God's surprises. God surprising Schweitzer, taking him out of a settled university setting, set off for a life of service in the Congo. Now, Christmas time can be a time of surprises, although the children were a bit reluctant to talk too much of surprises. But there are sometimes surprises, an unexpected gift or a renewed friendship or a Christmas card with a surprise, a sad or happy surprise or a surprise that you've received a card from someone that you weren't expecting. Now, some surprises are very painful. Someone you love. And in this last year, the Lord has taken them. A sudden change of plans. An illness, a difficult circumstance, bad news perhaps that you've had from friends at this time of year. But God still surprises us. And sometimes at unexpected times and and at unexpected ways. The second thing we see here is that God's surprises are often difficult to fully understand. We could glamorize what happened to Mary. But I think we need to be realistic as we read what happened. When the angel said to Mary, "Do not be afraid, Mary, for you have found favor with God. And behold, you will conceive in your womb and bring forth a son, and shall call his name Jesus. He will be great and will be called the Son of the Highest. And the Lord God will give him the throne of his father David. And he will reign over the house of Jacob forever, and of his kingdom there will be no end." And Mary is clearly surprised. Mary says to the angel, "How can this be, since I do not know a man?" Did Mary have any real idea of exactly what was happening? Did she fully understand? She was being asked to risk her engagement, her life, as it had been planned. Risking the dowry that had been paid to her father. Risked being disowned by her father, a disgrace to them. And Joseph putting her away. She's been told about giving birth to this child who will be the Son of God, the Son of the Highest. Scared and confused, surprised. It was no easy thing for Mary. And God sometimes surprises us and does not ask us easy things either. Sometimes God surprises us with things that we feel are outside our comfort zone, as it were. That in order to do them, we will have to really trust him. Perhaps God is working in your heart in that way at the moment. There's something that God is calling you towards, and yet you know it seems beyond what you're able to do. Mary's reminded about the birth of John the Baptist with Elizabeth, her relative, and those amazing words, "With God, nothing will be impossible." Well, for you and me sometimes, God surprises us and calls us, and we think, well, this seems impossible. But with God, nothing will be impossible. Again, one writer says, to be chosen by God often means at one and the same time a crown of joy and a cross of sorrow. The piercing truth is that God does not choose a person for ease and comfort, but for a task that will take everything. God chooses a man or a woman in order to use him or her. But the sorrows and hardships that serving God may bring are not matters for lamentation, they are for our glory. But there are lots of things that God brings into our lives that we don't fully understand. Lots of surprises, perhaps in this last year, things that have brought you pain, as well as surprises that have brought you opportunity. And sometimes, you know, in the midst of it, we don't really fully understand what is God doing in our lives at that particular time. I think back 3.5 years ago now, when God first brought to me the call from the church here to think about moving from Sheffield to come as the pastor here. And it seemed impossible. Church in Sheffield, which was busy, we were involved in setting up a new church plant. It seemed impossible. How could this work? How could this be? Amazing thing now that in 3 weeks' time, I'm due to be returning back to Sheffield for a Sunday to preach at the inauguration of that church plant as it sets off as an independent new evangelical church in its own right. With God, nothing will be impossible. Mary's response to the Lord is a very challenging response for us. When Mary says, "Behold, the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." And then the angel left her. That's a remarkable response of Mary. She was willing to follow the Lord and trust the Lord, no matter how difficult or impossible the situation seemed to be. It's the lesson you and I need to take into our lives this morning, to apply to our lives, that whatever the circumstances, it is always wise to trust the Lord, to trust and follow him, no matter how difficult or impossible the circumstances may seem to be. And that's what Mary was saying with these words. Whatever the Lord wants, she says, I will trust him. Whatever the Lord chooses, I will trust him. Whatever the Lord wants me to do, however he wants me to serve him, I will trust him. Now we can learn a lot from Mary at that point. There are many things that come into our lives that are difficult and that we don't fully understand. But to honor the Lord as Mary did here, whatever the Lord wants, whatever the Lord chooses, however the Lord wants me to serve him, however the Lord wants me to follow him, I will trust him. Now that's a theme we find not just here with Mary, but we find that theme through the Bible. The wisdom of that choice to trust and follow the Lord. Go back into the Old Testament. 3 young men, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego. And the king at that time issues an order that everyone is to bow down to a golden statue of the king. And these 3 young men determine that they will not bow down, but that they will worship only the Lord. And the king has them arrested, and they're threatened with being thrown alive into a furnace of fire. A furnace that was so hot that the men who were going to throw them into the furnace were themselves killed. And before they're thrown into the furnace, the king gives them a last opportunity to change their mind. And what do they say? They say, "O Nebuchadnezzar, we have no need to answer you in this matter. If we are thrown into the blazing furnace, our God whom we serve is able to deliver us from the burning fiery furnace. And he will deliver us from your hand, O king. And then this, they say. But if God does not deliver us, if not, let it be known to you, O king, that we do not serve your gods, nor will we worship the gold image which you have set up. Even if God was not going to deliver them from the furnace, they would still trust him. They would still follow him. They would still serve him. They were going to trust the Lord in what seemed impossible circumstances. Well, here's the prophet Jeremiah. And he's walking around his beloved Jerusalem, which has been reduced to rubble. Jerusalem has been destroyed by the Babylonian army. And Jeremiah feels depressed and discouraged and confused. And he feels forsaken. How can this have happened? And he feels alone. And then as he feels forsaken, alone, my soul still remembers and sinks within me, he says. That sinking feeling, we say, that sometimes we have. Well, Jeremiah, that's where it's from. He had that sinking feeling. And this I then recall to mind. Therefore I have hope. Through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not. They are new every morning. Great is your faithfulness. The Lord is my portion, says my soul. Therefore, I hope in him. The Lord is good to those who wait for him, to the soul who seeks him. It is good that one should hope and wait quietly for the salvation of the Lord. In the midst of that devastation, and as Jeremiah feels this sinking spirit inside him, yet he recalls to mind, through the Lord's mercies we are not consumed, because his compassions fail not, they are new every morning, great is thy faithfulness. And the hymn writer takes hold of those verses from Jeremiah's Lamentation and composes the hymn, Great is thy faithfulness, O God my Father, there is no shadow of turning with thee. Thy compassions, they fail not, as thou hast been, thou forever wilt be. And Jeremiah, as those three Hebrew teenagers, as Mary, in the midst of difficult, seemingly impossible circumstances, he trusts the Lord. They're great words of the prophet Jeremiah. Now, I'm highlighting this because how different this faith is from the faith that we sometimes hear about in the world around us. There are many people who proclaim faith when everything is going well, when everything is blue skies. But when things are not going well, and when the storm comes, walk away. Where's God in this? They're not looking for a personal relationship with God. They're looking for a business partner. As we apply what happened, which we're challenged by through the response of Mary, let's remember this last Sunday of a year, God's character. To remember who God is and what God is like. That God is not arbitrary or reckless. God is holy, righteous, wise, loving, merciful, gracious. Great is your faithfulness. Your compassions, they fail not. Let's remember God's character. Then also let's remember God's track record through the Bible. Think back in the Bible how God has helped people down through the centuries. And perhaps you can look back in your own life if you're a Christian here this morning. And you can think of difficult times, tough times that God has brought you through. And that sometimes you learn to trust God most through the difficult times, through the hardships, through the trials. Your trust in God, you were thrown more upon him and you learned more of him through the trials. And then let's also remember God's gift of his son. Mary, of course, didn't know the outcome of what she was committing herself to when she said, "Behold the maidservant of the Lord, let it be to me according to your word." That journey to Bethlehem was ahead of her. The arrival of the Messiah in the poverty where a baby would be laid in a manger. And then that ministry of the Lord Jesus Christ, where a sword would eventually pierce through her soul, that this son, this sinless, holy Son of God, crucified, laid upon a cross. But when we realize what God has done in the gift of his son for us, as we look back now with New Testament light, God's indescribable gift, God sending his son into this world in this way, but for our salvation, that we might be rescued. This divine rescuer who's come into the world, we are challenged to trust God, to follow the Lord and to serve him. I read this last week about a young man from a wealthy family who was about to graduate from university. And I read the story and it reminded me about something that happened with our next door neighbours. But in this story, the custom was, because it was a very well-off community, that if a son graduated well from university, the parents might buy him some special gift on graduation, and often it was a new car. Our neighbours bought a new car for their children when they reached 18. Well, this boy and father had spent some time driving around car dealerships prior to his graduation, so the boy had an idea in his mind. Dad's going to buy me a car. The boy was thinking, after graduation, I'll go home, and there on the drive of the house will be the new car. When he graduated and got back to his house, his father gave him a very small package. And the father said it contained the most valuable gift that he could ever give his son. And when he opened the package up, the present up, the boy found in it, it was a Bible. And because he was thinking of a car, not a Bible, he threw the Bible down, walked out of the house, and it led to a rift between the son and his father. After a while, news of his father's death brought the son back home again. And after the funeral, he was going through some of the things in the house that reminded him of his father. He came across the Bible, the present his father had given him. When he opened the Bible, what fell out from the Bible was a check for the exact amount of the car that the boy had really set his heart upon. The gift had been there all along if he'd only opened the Bible. But he'd turned away from the Bible and the gift by throwing the gift away as he threw the Bible down. Also, this account, this story of what happened, reminds us then that when Mary is told, "Rejoice, highly favored one," perhaps those were the most surprising words of all. that God was going to do something amazing through Mary. And Mary, how was she the highly favored one? You may think this morning, well, why does God love us to send his Son into the world for our salvation, that we might be forgiven? What would it mean if I were to trust and follow and serve this Savior? Perhaps if you're aware of any sense of guilt this morning before God, you're aware of areas in your life where you've gone wrong. A sense of need before God. You're aware in your life you need a personal relationship with God. If you have any sense of judgment that we must all one day give an account to God. How can God love us and send his Son into this world for us? Well, the amazing message of the Christmas story too, of course, is that the message we are loved by God is reinforced by the fact that God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son. God reaching out to a guilty world, a sinful world, a dark world. Now, it may be very mysterious to us, and I often am amazed as I am preparing for Sundays, Sunday by Sunday, that the God of heaven, the mighty God of creation and providence and the universe, should notice us, should love us. God's love is a great mystery to me. But this wonderful invitation that reaches out to us, as Mary responds in faith then to this message she receives, that you can respond in faith this morning. Time to believe that the God of heaven has loved you so much that he has sent his Son into this world for your rescue. That you can know God's forgiveness, God's love, God's grace. And with all the surprises that have come through Christmas and perhaps through the new year as well, some will be painful and some will make us jump for joy. But there is no greater surprise, I think, than this. That God's love in Jesus Christ means a Savior has come into the world for your rescue. And that you can respond to him in faith. And I can respond to that Savior in faith and say, let it be to me, Lord, according to your word. My Savior, my Lord, my King, I want to serve and trust and follow this Savior. And you know, it may be when you respond to God in that way that God will further surprise you. Like Albert Schweitzer was surprised. And God set his life on a whole new direction. The Christian life is a whole new direction in life. And there may be more surprises to come. So let's pray together. Let's all pray. Lord, we thank you this morning that we can turn to you and respond in faith as Mary did long ago to this surprising announcement that she was the Lord's maidservant. She was willing to trust and serve and follow the Lord. Let it be to me according to your word, she said. We pray, Lord, according to your word, you will work in our hearts that we might respond to you in faith. And Lord, when you call us in days ahead, in surprising ways, even in painful ways, as well as joyful ways, we pray, Lord, that we'll not turn away from you, but turn to you, whether it's the first time or in a deeper way, to trust and serve and follow. So help us in Jesus' name. Amen. Now we're going to sing a closing hymn together. This closing hymn is based on the passage we've just read about the angel appearing to Mary, 203. We're going to sing it to the tune of Once in Royal David's City. But it's number 203, Earth Was Waiting, Spent and Restless.
Earth was waiting,
Let's pray then. Now may grace, mercy, and peace from God the Father, God the Son, and God the Holy Spirit rest and remain with each one of us and all the people of God, both this day and forevermore. Amen.